Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We both lie silently still in the dead of the night. Although we both lie close together, we feel miles apart inside. Was it something I said?
Joe, why don't you just take over here?
Did my words
just do your thing?
Come out right?
Get to the story you want to talk about. Take it over. Own it. Make it yours.
Yeah.
Nope. Realize that not everybody knows this story.
Why are we playing a song?
Well, that shows how much you know the story. This song has a lot to do with the story, supposedly, that you've been obsessed with for the past 12 hours or so. So take it over.
I'm playing Jim Murray for it.
Go from the beginning, tell the story, and then give your thoughts. So this will be news and comment with Scott Zolak. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Go.
Okay, so Jim, I'm obviously sick yesterday. I'm out. So Jim Murray retweets this, something from PETA, the animal rights group, PETA, that words matter. Put this out on their Twitter yesterday. Words matter. And as our understanding of social justice evolves, our language evolves also along with it. Here's how to remove speciesism. Speciesism, is that how you say it? Speciesism?
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 Maybe.
From your daily conversation. Normal words of understanding are, kill two birds with one stone. I've already used that during the course of the
great
show.
Great phrase.
These people think that we should feed two birds with one scone. What's a scone?
Like a scone, like a blueberry scone.
Oh, so give them a donut. So feed two birds with a donut.
It's more of a... Oh.
Well, that's a scone to me. Next word. Next saying.
Never mind.
It's not a donut.
It's your segment.
Be the guinea pig, which I've already used today. Be the test tube. So now all of a sudden we're gonna start breeding things in test tubes, which I know we can do with people that have a tough time birthing. So be the guinea pig. Don't be the test tube baby.
Well, and they put that one out there. If you want to
make a comment about a baby instead of an animal. Next one. Bring home the bacon, which is why I came to work today. Bring home the bacon, right? How about this one? Bring home the bagels. Nothing like that. Nothing like saying, hey, honey, I'm leaving the house because guess what I'm going to do today? I'm going to bring home the bagels. Not that they wouldn't mind. Depends where you get your bagels from. The next one that they're offended by. Take the bull by the horns. I've used that one already today, too. How about this one? Take the flower by the thorns.
That's why we heard the song.
That wouldn't apply. That's a rose. It's not a flower.
Flower's not a rose.
Oh, it's not?
Rose is a flower.
Flower's not a rose?
No, it is, I guess. Well, a rose is something special.
Well, let's talk about that. Do you think it is? Is there any debate in your mind as to whether or not a rose is a flower?
No, it's a flower. It's a special occasion flower. Like, you bring home regular flowers, it's not impressive. But you bring home roses, you did either something wrong or something big happened at home. That's all. So now, all of a sudden, we, in today's society, in 2018, people are offended, or I guess the PETA people are offended by bring home the bacon and guinea pig. Those type of terms. So now you can't play Baby It's Cold Outside in Cleveland, nor do they want you to use those six catchphrases with the English language because it's offensive to our little animals.
Idioms, they're called.
Idioms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Idiots. Idioms for idiots. I'm doing, going to Miami. I'm going to either eat fish, which will be dead, or steak. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to eat. So now all of a sudden, I guess we can't have steakhouses, right? That's offensive to the beef, to the cattle. Yeah. Probably shouldn't go to Cape and eat clams or anything because killing the clams. They have feelings too. Fish fry. You guys are like, you have no issue with it? Just think it's...
No, I dismiss it out of hand like I would dismiss any stupid story like this. You, on the other hand, have been distraught over it for almost a day.
Well, Jim's a food guy.
A day
Murray's
now.
A food guy. And I'm like, well, yeah, that would take something a little set me off.
You let... You know, like,
let that bug me. Let that fester.
This is literally like the two stories he just mentioned are probably like a total of like five people. The one radio station in Cleveland that's not going to play Baby It's Cold Outside, that made you angry. That made your blood pressure rise. Yeah. A couple of people at PETA put this list together and tweeted it out, and you're letting...
So you think it's so stupid, it's not even worth mentioning.
And you're letting
pretty
it
much.
Ruin your
yeah,
day.
Do pretty
you think,
much.
So
do you
who
think,
would PETA would ever think, okay, who is allowed to control our Twitter to where
well,
we would put this on?
Do you agree with PETA on anything?
Oh, I do, yeah.
Well, yeah, see, then that's not right either.
Yeah.
I do agree with the ethical treatment of
I think the poor slaughtering of certain furs in it. Yeah, I understand
see,
why these people
I don't like, the trophy hunters over in Africa that are just trying to kill elephants
rhinos
and lions for their own, like,
they should be hunted. I think they should be hunted.
Right?
Yeah.
It's different if you're hunting deer because it's overpopulated and you need to, you know, get the population down or something like that.
Or
but like
people that kill sharks and cut their fins off just for soup.
Trophy hunting
stupid.
Trips to Africa creep
yeah.
me out. Like,
yeah.
what is your deal?
Yeah.
What is your issue?
You've got issues.
I think that most of us are against any sort of torture of animals, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
But I think we're all on board with eating them.
The part
ones
of the
that
chain.
Are in the food chain.
Part of the food chain.
Like,
tell me about the sharks. You got the seals. It's part of the food chain. Part of the ecosystem.
And by the way, some of that can be downright messy.
You know what?
Treatment.
So
how
I take
of them
the back.
Raised, I get it. But
I take
you know
the,
what?
I take the back roads through camp today because of traffic patterns. So I get off exit 6 there and I
yeah.
kind of swirl around. Up here on Blue Hill, scheduled big signs flashing. December 4th
coming
and December 6th.
Yeah, going on right now.
Deer hunting day. All the roads are blocked off. I'm seeing dudes getting out of their truck and walking around camo. Wow, good thing you got that camo on a scheduled deer hunt day. I don't want them deer to see you come walking up, you know, in a regular orange jacket or anything. Just like, we're coming to get you, deer. And they tell me you can't hunt the sharks, but you can hunt the deer on the mountain.
Yes, that we're, is we're, that
we
has been acceptable.
Ass for, backwards here.
That's never been unacceptable to hunt the deer.
Yeah.
That's always been an acceptable practice.
A lot of good eating out there.
Yes.
You had 3 hours to organize your thoughts.
But for all this, like, these statements, come on, nobody agrees with this. Six people.
Not one person says, yes, I'm on board with all this, and I'm going to start saying these phrases. Nobody. Nobody thinks
we're going to bacon today. Yep. So there, we killed two birds with one stone.
You kind of do a bad thing by feeding a fed horse, right? You don't want to overeat, right?
Well, that's what you wouldn't
do.
No,
you don't want to beat the dead horse.
You wouldn't beat a dead horse, and you wouldn't...
sit there in a club and
beat
it.
It says feed a fed horse.
Well, you wouldn't do that either. You don't want to beat a dead horse, and you don't want to feed a fed horse. They're both things that you shouldn't do.
Feels like they're advocating for something that shouldn't be going on.
Well, yeah, no,
they're
not advocating.
Trying to kill the horse with overstuffing.
The phrase is, stop beating a dead horse, or we're beating a dead horse. We should stop this. Same thing with feeding a fed horse.
All the, stop feeding
all
the
their
fed
turns
horse.
Of phrase make sense, but no one's going to start saying them.
You're feeding a fed
but
horse.
But Zoe has still let it affect him.
It has in a big way.
Yeah.
I blame Jim Murray for it. I follow Jim on Twitter, but this scrolling through last night, boom, there it is. You got to be kidding me.
It was also in our notes if you had looked at our notes, too.
You found it by going to Jim Murray's Twitter?
Yep.
Okay. That I'm surprised by that.
I saw the notes, too.
Okay. Does Jim Murray agree with
Jim
the statements? Does Jim Murray agree with
oh, God, no.
And is Jim Murray not an animal lover?
Yeah, I mean, there's only so many ways you can skin a cat, right? And he's got cats.
Lolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Slot to the near side, left for Brady on second and 10. He fumbles the snap, loses the ball. It's out of the end zone. Touchdown, Miami.
Brady extends the hands, takes the step. Tom looking right, firing right. The ball's going to be intercepted in the end zone. Thomas picked it off. The newest of Dolphins with a game-sealing interception with 2 seconds to go.
Brady stands, fires, intercepted at the 10-yard line. Picked off by Sam Madison.
Brady with a play fake under a ruck and Cameron Wake, and the ball comes loose as Brady goes down. Miami swarming over the quarterback.
Rolling, looking, and fires, but the ball is knocked out of his hands. This has been a horrendous day for the Patriots, who came into Miami hoping to clinch the AFC East.
Stork will snap it back. Brady has it. Dolphins come, and Brady has no chance. Down he goes. The Dolphins with, in essence, a jailbreak.
Stands in the pocket and fires the football up the field. Intercepted by Channing Crowder, and that's it. I don't believe this one. I really don't believe this one. The Patriots put up almost 500 yards offense and frittered away 10 points.
It's not a good montage. That's a bad one. That's Tom Brady.
Good music.
Playing the Dolphins. It's Miami Vice?
Yep.
Before my time.
Reruns.
Before my time. Don Johnson was Miami.
It's not
Vice,
worth going
right?
back to watch, probably.
What was the Don Johnson show years later that was
Nash Bridges?
Yeah. Nash Bridges was sort of like the follow up, right? Like a ripoff of that.
I never saw it, but I've seen Miami Vice on the old Dion Comcast screen here a couple of times recently, and I always think when I see it, it's the Colin Farrell and Jamie Foxx movie version. Have you ever seen that, Zoe?
I saw that awful.
Awful?
I didn't like it.
Oh, you're insane. No.
Don Johnson's original, and he plays such a good dick in movies, like Tin Cup. Like, he's a good villain.
I love the remake.
You like the remake?
It's Michael Mann movie. I'm a sucker for pretty much all of his stuff.
It's like remaking The Longest Yard with Adam Sandler. I just couldn't get into it. No, I don't know.
I love it.
Like, the original's so good.
I didn't watch it. It's kind of before my time, too.
Like something.
By a couple of years.
Let's do Dukes of Hazzard with Jessica Simpson as Daisy Duke.
Well, I'm not going to say. Well,
same thing.
I didn't see that. I can't see that.
She was good in Employee of the Month, though. I like that movie. With Dane Cook. Never saw that?
No.
Huh.
No. Now we've lost Beetle. Mm. Damn it.
You good?
Yeah.
Okay. Dolphins quarterbacks that have beaten Tom Brady in Miami.
This is embarrassing.
Fiedler, Feely, Harrington, Henny.
Hold on. Jay Feely.
Jay Fiedler. A.J. Feely.
A.J. Feely. I can't even remember the guy's name.
Ryan Tannehill three times, Feely, Jay Cutler. Dude. Tom Brady is 7-9 at Miami. Losing record there. He's lost 19 games in the regular season at Gillette Stadium. He's lost 9 at Pro Player, Joe Robbie. What are they? What is Sun Life? What is it now?
I don't even.
Hard Rock.
Fins to the left. Fins to the right.
Zoe's favorite pregame is there.
I love it. Love it.
They still do the red carpet?
Oh, yeah. They used to have, remember, and I think he's still, the guy used to be married to J-Lo. Little old singer.
Mark Anthony.
Used to be there, one of the owners. And he'd be there with a sunglass. And they've had him on a red carpet interviewing all the celebrities coming in and pregame.
Okay,
going on during warmups.
Do you want the names in order of what that stadium has been?
Absolutely.
Since it opened in 1987. Absolutely. It opened as Joe Robbie Stadium.
Yep.
It remained Joe Robbie Stadium until 96.
Yep.
Then it became Pro Player Park.
I remember that, Pro Player Park.
For a total of less than a month.
Right.
That lasted 2 weeks. Then they renamed it Pro Player Stadium.
Ooh. Oh. And it's not a park anymore. It's a stadium.
Yeah, it was Pro Player Stadium.
Yeah.
For a total, it was 96 until 05. So Joe Robbie had a long run. Pro Player Stadium had a long run.
Mm.
For 05 through 06, it was Dolphins Stadium.
Oh, catchy.
Dolphins Stadium. And then they renamed it in 06 to Dolphin Stadium for a total of 3 years. Then it became Landshark Stadium for less than a year.
Landshark. Knock, knock. Who's there?
Then it went back to being Dolphin Stadium for a total of 4 days. Then it became Sun Life Stadium from 2010 until 2016.
Yeah.
In 2016, they opened it back up and didn't have a name for it, and they called it New Miami Stadium from February.
Now you're lying.
No, I'm not lying.
No, he's not lying.
From February 1st of 16 until August 16th, they called it New Miami Stadium.
Oh, so when no games were there.
Could you imagine being in that boardroom where you're sitting there in that boardroom?
Was baseball still there? When did baseball move to the new place?
No, 16. They definitely were in a new place.
Yeah. So they didn't play any football games as it was New Miami Stadium.
That'd be fun, though, sitting in that boardroom.
And then,
let's come up with some new names.
And then August of 16, before the 2016 football season, it became Hard Rock Stadium, which is what it is now. So in that, it's the same place.
I tell you what.
That Brady's been playing all these years. He's lost 9 games there. He's been a starting quarterback for 18 years in the league. He started 16 games there. He's lost 9 of them.
This is the best it's looked, the stadium. It has. It's the best thing they've done with it. It's what Hard Rock pumped the money into it, the exterior, the interior. But here's the one thing that you may have an advantage, meaning being Miami. If you're Ryan Tannehill coming to work this week, or if you're Ryan Tannehill, I already beat this team 3 times. They don't scare us like they scare other teams. Is there that sense of, I don't want to say lack of invincibility, when the team comes in there? If you're Buffalo, if you're the Jets, you're preparing to play New England. Okay, we got them. Hey, we're going to get beat. We're going to get beat by this team. We know what's going to happen. We just need to make the game respectable. Miami's got confidence down there, and that's one thing that, tightens the game up. It's their building. It's a little weird. It's a little off. But you got to go and play down there. And it's a tough environment. It's a tough road. You got all your guns. You got all your bullets. This should be minimum 10-point differential. Like I said, I think it's going to be double-digit win, but it's going to feel tighter than that for whatever reason, being a tight divisional game. And they're going to pull away at the end of the backdoor cover. So, but I'm going to be shocked if it's a 4-3-point win coming in here on Monday. And that's good because you're going into Pittsburgh 10-3.
Of course it's good if they win the game. No one's arguing that. I'm worried that because it's so difficult for them to play there over the years, that this is not as easy of a win as you think it is. Right. It's no slam dunk. There should be no dismissing the Dolphins simply because of where they play.
Yeah.
It's not what you think it is. I don't think you can dismiss this one.
Like Danny Amendola's necked up, but he's trying to play in this game.
It's too big of a sample size.
That guy can't hurt you this week, right?
Look at the coaches that have beaten him there. Wonstadt, Saban, Sperano, Philbin, Dan Campbell, Adam Gase. Who's the best coach in the list?
Probably Wonstadt from a pro standpoint. Saban was a little successful there, but you know, that went away quickly. I think Wonstadt had longer tenure. Wonstadt's been around the program more than Saban ever has.
It's true. Wonstadt's records in his 4 years, his four complete years, were 11-5, 11-5, 9-7, 10-6. And then they had a bad start in 2004, and he got fired in season, amazing, I believe.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Barry Switzer thing, though, where Jimmy Johnson had a ready-made team for him when he took over.
Jimmy had a good team built down there.
It wasn't as good as those Cowboys teams, but it was good.
Yeah, I mean, our offensive line was huge. Kevin Gogan and those guys.
Yeah, but Jay Fiedler was his quarterback.
All he wanted was a game manager. See, that was the problem. Jimmy wanted to control the quarterback. And that was not going to happen with Danny.
Jimmy had Marino. Yeah. And then it went to Jay Fiedler and Wonstadt. There
wasn't much speaking between those two. I told you, Kippy Brown was our offensive coordinator. Marino would tell him what he's going to do. Oh, okay. You like that one, Danny? Okay, we'll throw that one out. Yeah. Told you that last week. Put it down. Ooh. So that's how quarterback meetings are run down here, huh?
So the Dolphins were playing, if I remember this correctly, were the Dolphins and Patriots playing into the final week or two of the season in 2001 to see who would win the division?
Can't remember. They just played in Carolina that final week, didn't they?
Right. Yeah. But they played at home against Miami the week before, I think. And I remember that being an important game for the division. They were still trying to figure out who was going to win the
division. That was the final regular season game at Foxborough Stadium.
I remember that Saturday.
The crowd hung out at the end of the game, and the players all did a lap around the stadium.
Because nobody knew if that was going to be the last game.
Yeah, that was a great, great crowd that day.
It ended up not being the last game because they played the Snowball. They had a playoff game against Oakland. But that was the last regular season game in the old place. And I think the division was up for grabs at that point. Let's see. Yeah, they finished 11-5 that year. Dolphins finished 11-5 with Dave Wonstadt. So it was. They were playing for that late in the year. Paulie's in the truck on Dolphins Patriots. Paulie.
Hey, how you guys doing? That was quick. Thanks for bringing me right in on that one. I wanted to talk to Shaughnessy because I wanted to pay my tribute.
Yeah, he left a one.
The last old school guy that's being buried today, President Bush. He's one of the guys that I grew up admiring and loving. I'm an old school guy. As you guys know, I only have a flip phone. I don't even know how to turn on a computer, but I have a Boston College education, which makes my choices educated. And I just love those old school guys. And that was the end of an era. He was the last one to go. I mean, I loved guys. Of course, I wasn't born to see FDR or Truman. Harry Truman's my favorite president of all time. I loved Ike, what I heard about him. I was born the same year Kennedy was elected. I loved Reagan and Bush and John McCain. And you can have the rest of them. Yeah. Honest to God. And
he's what about Garfield?
He's gone
what
now.
Do you think of Lincoln?
Wait, is the original Jimmy G?
Don't sleep on Buchanan. I mean,
who's the guy that Taft?
Who's
the fat ass with the cane?
Guys that actually impacted my life as I'm talking about and were born. My father was born in 1934 during the Depression. Yeah. When Ike was held that office, sure. I believe. When FDR first got in.
How's his wife?
You know, so that's as far as I'm willing to go back. But anyway, the Miami game, I think we're going to win this game. I know it's a house of horrors. I realize that. But they realize that, too. They realize the importance of this game. Especially having to go play the Steelers the following week. It's probably not going to work out for them like it did last year. We should not have won that game last year in Pittsburgh. We should have lost. It was a terrible call by the refs. we were lucky to get out. We were lucky.
Well, it was a terrible call
to the Super Bowl. The non-touchdown call on the tight end James. That was a touchdown.
What about Teddy Roosevelt? What about Teddy Roosevelt? Was that a good call to charge up San Juan Hill? Good call.
I've been compared to him. They say my political style is the same as that of Teddy Roosevelt.
McLovin.
Mike from Canton. Yeah, Mike from Canton once said that to me. He knows about me in the political circles.
Mike from Canton. Who the hell is Mike from Canton?
You heard of him.
Amendola going to make an impact on Sunday? Amendola on Sunday. Is he going to make an impact? Yes or no? Amendola on Sunday. Amendola.
What's that?
Is he going to make an impact? Amendola.
Am I going to make it? Who's going to make an impact?
Amendola. Danny Amendola.
I couldn't care less. I want to talk about the Patriots. You're going to have to talk about to Miami about that.
But Taft-Hartley I think is an underrated act.
But I think the Patriots are going to win. I think they're going to get down there with the right mindset. They're healthy. They know they have to win. They can't count on, you know, rolling the ball out there and coming out with some sort of a haphazard start. They're going to have to get over it, whatever troubles them down there. And I think they will. I think they're going to come up big. I think they're going to win. Because they don't want to have to go down to Pittsburgh and win that game, because it probably won't play out. If they lose it, it's Miami.
He's got 5 seconds left. In
Pittsburgh as well. Have a great day, guys.
Yeah!
All right, Pauly. Way to go.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
There's no place like home for 617-779-0985. Tom at the State House is on with us. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys.
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah, I'm just getting out of work now.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, you've been talking the last few days about, you know, like the Patriots and all the different possible orders and, you know, for the playoffs and what seed they could be if this team beats that team and so on. My question is, let's say somehow, you know, okay, you know, the Chargers beat the Chiefs, and then the Seahawks, you know, the Chiefs beat the Chargers, the Seahawks beat the Chiefs, you know, and they get the number one seed or however it would work. Let's say they get the number one seed and they make it to the Super Bowl. I mean, do you even want them to go this year? If they're going up against the Rams or the Saints, I mean,
I don't want to go.
You know, what chance do they have against those teams? Thanks.
You're talking about the Patriots if they end up the number one seed and end up in the Super Bowl.
Well, 2 weeks to get ready for one of those offenses.
How do we feel about their chances of having success against either one of those teams, Rams being one of them?
I mean, they run the table and they get in and they get there, they're probably favored. Because of the coach-quarterback combination and the difference of that day alone. Any other neutral site on, say, week 14, or say you got to go to L.A., maybe L.A. is favored by 3.
Do I love their chances? No, I don't love their chances, but
2 weeks, I'd take the chance against anybody. As long as they have health, please. It's just a different day. How many times have we talked about this? Brady's talked about it. The day's different.
Well, you always pick the Patriots. Every week you pick the Patriots. So
I'll pick them again.
You would pick them to win every game. Every game you pick them. So I'm just saying, would I feel great about their chances going into a game against a really good team? No, but I'm not. I wouldn't assume that they'd lose.
I would probably pick
against them. No, not even close.
I would probably pick against them. Say the Rams have, you know, just home field throughout and they just roll through the playoffs. Patriots have to go wild card, play wild card weekend, but somehow find a way to scratch a claw, get there. Probably pick the Rams. I'm not picking the Patriots that week. Am I kidding?
So you would pick the Rams?
I don't know. What's the scenario?
So you just went from please. I'd pick the Rams.
Well, I just think
that all just happened there.
I think their health is going to stay, and I do, and I think they're only going to get better. And I think Gronkowski is going to pop in about a week, meaning in a good way. And I think they're going to have him throughout, so I'd feel better. But if they lose like Gronkowski or Edelman or the back, or even say like Josh Gordon or say, you know, McCourty or, you know, Hightower go down for the rest of the year, then you got to kind of rethink things. And it's dependent upon how did the Rams get there? How did you get there? What was the path? Did you have a tough path to get there? Did you have to play an extra game? Did you play wild card? Did you have to go on the road? You know, those games tax you. They end up piling up on you. That's all. Let's get there. It'd be fun to get there and talk about it, though. I want Breeze versus Brady. That's what I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for Saints.
Oh, that would be a great, great Super Bowl.
You know what? Fly us out on Saturday.
I don't know what the game would be.
We'll do a Sunday show, too.
The build-up to the game would be great. The lead-up would be fabulous.
Remember how bad the Matt Ryan build-up, Matt Ryan versus Brady was? How
Brady Breeze could be a lot of fun.
Oh, Sean Payton, Belichick. Oh, my God.
But for us, it would be a lot of fun.
Just the Saints playing in the Super Bowl in Atlanta.
Oh, the Atlanta people hate the Saints. They do.
You want to have
another rooting?
Well, the Super Bowl host city, I think, was rooting
you
for
guys
the Patriots.
Clear out. We're coming in to play a game in your town,
based on the behavior of the Philadelphia fans.
They did not like the Philadelphians who were there.
You would get it 2 years in a row where the host city was rooting for your team.
Philadelphia
people
are disgustingly gross. They are. It's the worst fan base in the league, and that was proven to be factual. You know, Minnesota. It's those people just came to cause trouble and have a good time, but yet have a bad time.
Everywhere we go, it's not enjoyable. You know, you Patriots fans, you're a nice group of people.
Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, this is the only town we've ever gone to where they're saying this about us. Okay, we'll take it. Put us next to the people from Philly.
Thinking about that Atlanta,
come on,
too.
Looking great.
So in our my football lifetime, they've built two stadiums to have the Super Bowl come to their city.
Yeah, the Georgia Dome, and now they're Mercedes-Benz.
We were down there a couple, 3 years ago. That Georgia Dome was better than any dome we've been in. And yet, we're like, oh, yeah, we're tearing this thing down here. We're going to rebuild it next to it, whole site. I'm like, why? Nothing wrong with that place. Nothing wrong with
their baseball stadium lasted a whole 20 years, too.
That's crazy. They just got money down here, man. Just build it. And it was boom, boom. They plopped them all right next to each other. Drop one, build it next to it. Drop that one, bring something else in. Hey, it's nice. I guess this new one's really, really nice.
Will's in New Hampshire. Hi, Will.
Hey, man. Hey, Joe. What's up?
What's up?
Hey, man. I'm sitting literally in the Baltimore airport doing nothing because my flight got delayed about 3 hours. I've been listening to you guys all day, and I want to know one thing from you, Joe.
Yeah.
If they're not the one seed, the Pats, they're not the one seed, I have honestly no confidence in them going into Kansas City and winning.
I don't blame you.
And it's just that's a tough place to play. That's like Seattle 2013, 2014. It's a tough place to play. But say they're the one team, they get through. And how you guys have the call before kind of killed it for me. I'd rather see the Patriots play the Rams over the Saints because Drew Brees, you know, he's not a dumb quarterback. And I'm not saying Jared Goff is a dumb quarterback. But I'm saying Drew Brees, you know, has the experience. He's been there before. How much do you think a difference would be with a Drew Brees-led Saints team versus Jared Goff team against the Patriots in the Super Bowl? And, you know, I think it's kind of more, I mean, it's more of a younger defense on the Saints, but what do you think the difference would be in the matchups between those two?
It's a good question. Everybody pumps up that defense based on the names they have and, you know, the amount of money they've spent, but it's a team that's got lit up.
I like how I'm terrified if they go to Kansas City, they lose. But let me talk about potential Super Bowl opponents.
Let's do the Saints
and figure out which one they're going to pick off, whether it be the Rams.
Saints are sexy because it's the old school. It's Sean Payton. It's Breeze. It's the way you do things. It's the Saints. And
he's killing time.
Rams
at the
are too new school.
His mind's spinning around. He's been through the Hudson News like 3 times already. He's already had a lunch at Johnny Rockets.
Is there anything worse than the Hudson News?
He's
the greatest store at the airport.
You do?
Oh, yeah, and you buy things that you otherwise wouldn't buy, like a magazine. Who buys those anymore?
A pound of Twizzler bits.
Sure.
Yeah.
I get in for that.
I want 3 of these, but I'll buy a pound for $7.
That's a good point.
Because what else am I going to do? I'm on vacation.
How many more combos can I not eat? You know? And, oh, they don't have the regular flavor. Now I got to get the spicy pepperoni or pizza one, you know? Yep.
Hello.
Sorry.
Here we go. All right. All right, then.
Almost made it.
Oh, we'll get to the last call of the day. It's Josh and Haverhill.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
So I want to know what makes you so sure that the Celtics have figured things out. I mean,
I don't know. Ask Beadle. He's the one that said it.
Yeah, Beadle.
Yeah.
Are we overreacting or, you know, is
well,
it
man,
just
if we're going to jump down their throat, I don't blame him for not overreacting, but at some point they're going to figure this thing out. So all of a sudden you run 3 in a row, you got the Knicks game. Why shouldn't this be the stretch where they figured it out?
Because, I mean, obviously we would identify the two players that I think would have to go is Brown or Rozier, and I don't think the Celtics are willing to trade Brown, so Rozier has to go. To me, he's like a better version of Dennis Schroeder.
Why do I think the Celtics have it figured out? Because I believe in their roster, I believe in their talent, I believe in their coach, and they can't suck forever.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All righty, folks, time now for today's takeaways brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight for life, the official weight loss program of the Boston Red Sox. Got a little special takeaway here today, but real quick, want to congratulate my buddy Max Lane's kid, Hunter, named to the All-Star team up there at Georgetown High, also the MVP. Led the public school league with 117 catches, I think, 17 touchdowns. Had himself one hell of a year, 6'5" receiver. Good kid. Just came across. I saw that. It's pretty
cool. 117
just
catches?
Just came across the wire.
117 catches, yeah.
17. I know he had 17 touchdowns.
I'll double check that.
What is this, last call?
Roll call.
Yeah, that just came in, so I thought it was kind of cool. If my kid did, I'd be neat.
Yeah.
I'd be neat, too.
Yeah.
Birdie's going to crush it.
He's going to be an offensive lineman.
He is. Just meat. I don't care. Keep eating, kid. Sandwiches. How many sandwiches do you have on Sunday? 5?
Oh, yeah, a lot of sandwiches.
Try to get him to dip it in the soup and eat it that way because they go down quicker. It's like Kobayashi. You know, you can eat more. Dip it in a liquid.
All right. Let's get to our new holiday song, courtesy of Tom and Worcester.
Last call for alcohol.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I was like, what the hell's
last call? Last call for alcohol. Here's...
You should play Fred the Christmas Donkey.
Yeah, no, let's not. let's leave that for somebody else to do.
No, that's the best part of that show. I'm going to request it again. I'll call.
Good, you call over there and ask.
I do, I'd call. There we go. Play a real Christmas song. Tom the Cop in Worcester.
The painter. Musician.
Candlestick maker.
Firewood deliverer.
Have a Zoe and Beetle Christmas. And in case you didn't hear, the midday show is where you go. Because they're always full of cheer. Have a Zoe and Beetle Christmas. And in case you Harney's got headlines and Big Jim Lauf produces the whole show. Oh no, it's Ken and Lowell. He's drunk in too much beer. Ollie in the truck and Blair from Maine are bringing up the rear. Have a Zoe and Beetle Christmas. And in case you didn't hear, oh by golly, have a Zoe and this year, have a Zoe and Beetle Christmas.
Heading down to Ocala, Florida.
With the coup de grace.
So I want Houston beating San Diego State.
Coach Toro.
And then I want Arizona winning the whole thing pretty much.
Oh, no, it's Ken and Lowell. Don't hang up on me. I promise not to curse and swear and piss off the FCC.
Screw that shit.
Have a Zoe and Beetle Christmas. And in case you didn't hear, oh my golly, have a Zoe and Beetle Christmas this year.
Very nice job, Tom and Worcester.
Yeah, thank you.
Great
work.
Seriously,
we have really good listeners. We do. People put a lot into it. Listen every day. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's Jungle Low. He's dressed in
if you want to donate, we're set up a GoFundMe page for Tom. You can buy him a new neck for Christmas so he can turn his head.
Like just fused together like that.
Well, how many Tom years didn't was get it until Felger remembered his, knew his name?
Tom didn't get mentioned in the song. Don't rub it in by
we love
a
you,
hard
Tom.
Time.
Some days.
I love Tom.
I do too. Really appreciate you. Back tomorrow. Best
sir.
Of Fake Promo Fridays tomorrow.
Oh, it starts tomorrow?
It starts tomorrow. Best of the year starting tomorrow.
Oh, I'm coming in tomorrow.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.